welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, you can take a seat. Hopefully, at least half of you felt, oh. Yeah, I'm serious. At least half of you felt, oh, can't we carry on? Yeah, because that's where we are. Come on, you know? Hallelujah. But the other half, I'm with you too, because you want to hear some of the word, don't you? Hallelujah. You didn't just want a seat. You wanted to hear the word this morning. Hallelujah. Well, I pray by the grace of God, I've got something for you all. Amen. I know I've got something from God. I'm running with something. God's on the move, I tell you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm supposed to be doing part two of Five Smooth Stones. I don't know. Maybe we'll get there. Who knows? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We did it a couple of weeks ago. Is it part two this morning? I don't know. There's just so much happening in God. Are you ready to hold on the back of his Harley Davidson? Because God is roaring off. Hallelujah. You just got to hang on because he's moving. Hallelujah. Got good news for you. The building is moving along very, very quickly. Hallelujah. I hope that we'll all be in our new building by the summer. Hallelujah. That's not very long. These are days of acceleration. I tell you, things are happening so quickly at the moment. I get a phone call from the estate agent. We must arrange a meeting on the Friday. We're at the building on the Saturday morning. You know, the owner's there. The estate agent's there. He doesn't even normally work Saturday morning, but he wants to be there. You know, this is exciting stuff. Hallelujah. And we had a great meeting. It's all coming together by the grace of God. This week you can be praying because either this week or maybe next week we'll be putting in for planning permission for change of use. Hallelujah. From D2 to D1, if you want to know the technical use. But we're changing the use of that bar that's desired to be a laptop. It's had plans for casinos. It's had plans for other stuff. But we've got plans for it to be a house of God. Hallelujah. And I tell you, there's a word in the New Testament when Jesus sends his disciples to go and get a donkey for him to ride into Jerusalem on. And he says to disciples, they say, well, what are we going to say when we're taking this thing? And he just says, tell them the Lord needs it. And I tell you, with this building, it's that situation where it's just the Lord needs it. Amen. He needs it for what he's doing next. Hallelujah. We've just had some exciting day. You can tell it's exciting days because I haven't even had time to swap the microphone over either. But we've just had some exciting days down in Hull. It was like being out on the mission field in terms of seeing the glory of God falling upon the people there. I mean, this was the UK, this was Hull, and people were receiving dramatic miracles. Hallelujah. Do you want to hear some of them? The ones we saw. Because there were more we didn't see. There was just, God was just moving. Five small stones. These are days. The first one talks about this being a time of fruitfulness and increasing in number. And one of the reasons we're going to be fruitful and increasing in number is because it's time to plug into the glory of God and see his miraculous flow through our lives. Hallelujah. We're going to be more excited about God than the DVD player. Well, that's the honest. That's where it's been at sometimes. You know, I'll watch a DVD tonight. I'm not going to another prayer meeting. We're going to be so changed. We're going to be so determined. You won't want to watch a film on the DVD because there's another prayer meeting on tonight. Brilliant. And nights when there's nothing on, you'll be disappointed. Come on. Are you wanting God to do that in you? Hallelujah. This isn't hype. This is God on the move. All right, and you can just plug into it. You, as I'm speaking to you, just sort of think, I'm sucking all that up. Whatever he's got going through him, I'm sucking it all up. Hallelujah. On the Saturday night, I suppose it was a miracle, but it's not the one I'm going to tell you about in a minute. But it wasn't Saturday. I was thinking it was a weekend. Thursday night, the first night we were there, it seems like we've been away on a long conference, but we didn't even stay there. We traveled back each day. But we went there on the Thursday, and on the Thursday night, there was a call forward to receive, and obviously this whole city hall's a big place, and it's full. Absolutely full. Every ticket was sold. You couldn't get in if you wanted to. I like meetings like that. It's the biggest gathering of Christians there's been in Hull for, well, we don't know, maybe 100 years or so. God is on the move in this region, up and down the East Coast. It's a time of revival. The guy speaking, Nathan Morris, I don't know, he's not my style, but there's something on him. Oh, there's something on him. There's something of the glory of God on him. And so we're all lined up at the front, or at least the ones that have gone forward are. And he points to me somewhere. Well, I wasn't right at the front. I was in the crowd somewhere. He just points and says, come up on the stage, you. That wasn't the only one. There were some others as well, but obviously that was pretty exciting. Okay, what's God going to do? I walked on the stage, and he prayed for me, and I have never had a God encounter like it in my life. It was bang. I felt like, you know, when people say I was hit by God, it was like being hit, but it was on the inside. You know, it was like bang. I felt like I was going to explode. I just went boof, smack on the floor. You know, I was lying in this awkward position and shaking and everything else. I know we see shaking and everything else and all those things, but I tell you, this was of another degree. We're moving on up, in the words of M people. We're moving on. Hallelujah. This is different time. I mean, we've been sensing it, haven't we, this year? There's just been that. We've never seen so many healings happening. But there's so much more to come. You need to be inviting people who are sick to come with you on a Sunday morning. This is one thing. I'll tell you why the Lord spoke that to me in a minute. But you need to be inviting them along on a Sunday morning. I know we say that we need to be praying for people, and that's absolutely true, be doing that. But also God told me and he spoke to me and he said, you're missing something out. I still want people to invite people to bring them and to drag them along, whatever. Get them in here if they're ill, because we need to lay hands on them and we need to see them healed. Amen. You know, if we don't press ahead in it, we won't see it. If you want to see, if you want to be healed, if you want to see others healed as you pray for them, you've got to do it. You know, it doesn't just one day you're walking down the road and the Lord mysteriously takes your hand and puts it over here and suddenly out of your voice box come the words, be healed, and there's a miracle. It will be you seeing someone, having compassion on someone and deciding, I'm going to pray for them. That's all it is. Hallelujah. It's just, and it's not a million miles away. Jesus always talked about the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, the miracles, the power, the salvation is there. It's right in front of your face. But the devil comes along and tries to lie to you and say, you know, when you've been praying and having your quiet times correctly for 10 years, then you'll be qualified. Then you could get on with it. Or maybe there's something wrong in your body and you think, well, how can I pray for somebody else when I've got this pain? That's the enemy trying to keep you off the battlefield. You know, whatever's going on in our lives, when we pray for someone, they're healed by grace. You say, well, what about faith? Faith is action. When you take action, that is faith. You're putting it into action. The actual miracle is God's department. You can't do anything except be obedient. Faith is being obedient to the word of God. And the word of God says, go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. I don't think we're going to get to 5 smooth stones at this rate. Hallelujah. I haven't even got the iPad out. Can God move without the iPad? Hallelujah. So he prayed for me and I just lay on this stage. Oh dear. This hand was going bang, bang, bang on the stage. I'm thinking that's going to hurt. Because I was kind of aware of what was going on. In fact, at one point I thought, I think I'll get up now. I could not move. I could not move. It was, incredible. I mean, I've had some experiences of God. I'm not someone that generally feels much or has many experiences, but I have had them, but never anything like that. And God has just told me, it wasn't for you, Paul. Well, it was for me, but it was for us. It's for us and what we're moving into. Amen. So that was exciting in the extreme. It's funny, I was realized when we were walking through back through the city center, back to the car park, every now and again I'd sort of do this. And I'm thinking, in a minute, if they've got street pastors or street angels, they're going to be coming up to me, trying to get me into the safe refuge for the night, you know. Yeah, I was drunk in the Lord. Kate wouldn't let me drive. And that was very wise. But yeah, whoa. But it wasn't just so I could have a, yay, that was a really cool time. It was for us. And the reason I'm telling you is to get you excited that God is moving. You know, we've had this word of prophecy over us, acceleration, for some time. And I've never seen, with the building, it's just bang all the time. It's just so quick. Everything's happening so quickly. You know? Wow. Hold on to your seat. Hold on to the Harley. It's time. Hallelujah. But you've got to be part of it. You've got to choose to be part of it. You know, I gave you the five smooth stones last week, but you can only, and David used one of the five smooth stones. That's where it's come from, to slay Goliath the giant. But he didn't just pick up the sling on that day and it was the first time he'd ever used it. He knew what it was to use a slingshot. He knew what it was to have the necessary ammunition. And if you're going to slay giants, you need to be in practice. Amen. So that's why we practice. You think, well, occasionally I might miss. That's absolutely fine. We're practicing. We're getting better. We're going to get the word of God right between the eyes of the giant, and the giant's going to crash to the floor, stone dead. Amen. Whatever the giant is, there's been some, I mean, when I told you about this building, when was it? 3 weeks ago, I think. It's not been long. There were giants in the way. There were certain giants that I knew at that point, unless God did something, they were impossible. They're all out the way. There is a couple left, but, you know, they're going to be nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One of them was finance, and finance will be an ongoing issue, but already God has released so much, you know, in different ways, the way it's been provided. I could see there's been, in a different way, we've been supplied with, a few 10,000s. You know, that's going to be useful. Because it's got to be got ready for the excellence of the Lord. You know, Kate had a word some time ago that the building will be prepared for us. And the way things are going, by the time we take hold of the keys, that building would have been prepared for us at no cost to us. Hallelujah. Then we'll get in there and put decent chairs in and PA and lights and sofas and coffee machines and everything else. That's just going to be a great building for us to hang out with and hang out with together in and to meet with God in and to be used by the community as a way we can bless this community. Back to Thursday. Are you enjoying this? Can you sense just a little bit of excitement in me? I've been looking forward to this time since we've been in Yorkshire. I knew it was coming, and we're there. You know, we're there. This is, the conference in Hull was called for such a time as this. You know, and tell you what, that's a word that was spoken over Esther in the Old Testament, and Mordecai said to her, "You are here, Esther, for such a time as this." And it was the time that she went before the king and saved the people from genocide. That's what happened. That's where it comes from. But you are here for such a time as this. This country, this nation is heading for spiritual genocide. That's why we're here, to intercede to the king so that that doesn't happen. Because God loves the people of the UK and the other nations that live in the UK, but we're called to this bit at the moment, as well as sending people out if you like. But we are called to this, to intercede to the king, to see that a spiritual genocide does not take place in our nation. Are you with me on that? Do you see the importance of the calling on your life? There is nobody wasted in the kingdom. Every person in this room has a distinct and individual calling, and every person in this room makes a difference in the kingdom of God. And when you backslide or when you go away, the kingdom of God is, in a sense, in what's happening in the nation, is not the same. You are so precious to God. You are so key in his plans. And so that's why the enemy comes in and lies to you and tells you you're not good enough and you could never do that and you're rubbish and you're worthless and you're stuck with that because you had that in your childhood. It's all lies. As we sung in the first song, we are free. The freedom generation. Amen. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and because of his blood, we have been purchased back from all that rubbish and we have been set free. Hallelujah. I'm sorry I don't normally shout, but it's just one of those mornings. Hallelujah. Fortunately, there's a limiter on the sound system, so your ears should be safe. Whoa. Hallelujah. So Thursday. Hallelujah. Which, of course, Purim was it Wednesday to Thursday night? Unless you're in Jerusalem, and then it was Thursday night to Friday night. So we were there at the time of Purim, which Jared said was a complete coincidence. I think not. Hallelujah. Mind you, I did tell him, because he was brilliant for us. He was awesome for us. I tell you, talk about favor from Jared. Pray for that New Life Church and pray blessing upon them, because he showed us such favor. On the Friday night with that City Hall absolutely full, he played that promo video that we showed you last week about our this. He said, "Is it called this?" I said, "Yes, it's just a shorter and trendier version of your title." Which he thought was hilarious. So he played the video, and then in front of all these people, he spoke very favorably of me and our conference, and then said, "And I want Paul to come and tell you about what's happening." And then he gave me another 2 minutes to speak about it as well. So that was real favor. Hallelujah. So keep, because we need to see that spa full of people. This is something God has told us to do, and I've only really realized in the past week what a spiritual battle it is. Because it's going to be so significant. We've got to be praying, and I don't just mean we when we're together. I mean, as individuals, we need to be praying for that event to be full of the people that God wants to be there, because it's going to be so significant for a region as well as Kingdom Faith Church. I mean, we get caught up in that blessing, that's for sure. Hallelujah. Anyway, on Thursday, where the first part of it, Thursday afternoon, was a leaders' meeting. And Nathan was speaking, Nathan Morris, who was the sort of guest speaker. And he was talking to us as leaders, and he was just being very passionate about seeing healing released, because he's seen a lot of miracles. And he walks down the one of the aisles, and there's a woman sitting there in a wheelchair. And you've got to give the guy credit for his boldness, because he starts to pray for this woman to get out of the wheelchair. Now, he's in a room full of church leaders, and he's there at the beginning of his whole conference, and if you like, his credibility was now on the line, because he starts saying that this woman's going to be healed, and she's in a wheelchair. And they start to pray for her, and nothing happens. And they keep praying, and then it was very interesting, because as they're praying, and he's getting everybody to stand up and pray for this woman, as we're praying, some people around her are lifting her out of the wheelchair. And he says to her, "No, not yet. Her faith isn't ready." Well, very interesting. So they carried on praying. And then, a little bit later, he sort of gave the nod, and they helped her stand to her feet. We didn't know at that time that was impossible anyway. She couldn't stand to her feet. And then this woman, and to begin with, she was walking sort of like this. Very slowly, very, very unsteadily. And he gets us to keep praying. And then eventually this woman, she's still walking on that day, she's still sort of walking like this, and you're sort of thinking, well, come on. That night we heard more of the woman's story, and she was completely paralyzed down her right-hand side. From her leg, her arm, and her eye. She couldn't see out of her eye. She'd only been able to hold her right arm like this. That's all it had done. And so constantly she's just doing this all the time. Because this arm that could not move is waving itself around. She's praising God with it. Part of her story was when they arrived at this hotel that they'd booked in Hull, because they weren't from Hull, they'd booked a disabled-friendly hotel. When they got there was all these steps up into the hotel and no lift. And she was so badly disabled, and her two friends that had come with her, her two friends that were determined for her to get in front of this person that was going to heal her, they took half an hour to get her up these steps into her room, because it was so difficult, because she's so immobile. She had carers come in from the council 3 times a day to help her with basic functions like going to the toilet, feeding, and getting dressed. All right, this was no... she was a little bit weak, so she had a wheelchair. This woman, bless her, was completely wheelchair bound. Her arm was moving freely. By the Friday night, she was walking up and down. Well, she was running and dancing and doing everything else. She was free. She was praising God. When she got back to the hotel, the landlady, who had seen all this fuss about her getting up the stairs and everything else, her landlady, who was a Muslim, gave her life to Jesus. because you could see the miracle in front of your eyes. And I tell you, these friends that had brought her were so determined to get her there. There was other stories of what they've been through to get her there. And you realized as you were listening to this story, you were seeing one of the biblical parables acted out right in front of you of the faithful friends that took the sick person into the place where they knew she could be healed. And she was healed by the faith of the friends and the faith of the person that was there. They told her, they told this lady that was in the wheelchair, you won't be able to go to the leaders' meeting because there are no tickets left. And remember, they were traveling to Hull and staying in a hotel. She said, I'm going anyway. I don't know how she got in because they were being really strict. We were nearly stopped going in and we had a VIP letter. You know, but yeah, she managed to get in and she got her healing. There was a boldness that came upon her. But that's what we need, church. We need that boldness. It's like the church in Acts when they were coming under persecution. They didn't pray for more salvations, actually. They prayed for greater boldness. And we've got to have that boldness. You know, that boldness that Nathan demonstrated in just putting himself on the line and potentially or writing off that whole conference in a session of seeming to fail right at the beginning. You know, you know what I mean? But he didn't care. He was quite bold. There was another guy on Thursday night. He wasn't healed at the front. He was healed at the back with the friends who had brought him. Are you detecting a pattern here? Are you detecting our role in this? Hallelujah. So they'd brought him. He was a married man. They were a young couple. He'd been married. They got married in 2010, him and his wife. And he'd had a stroke before they got married. He'd had a stroke, and as a result, he was in a wheelchair. And he couldn't, it wasn't, you know, he couldn't play with his kids. He couldn't change their nappies. He couldn't push a pushchair. There was a lot of things he couldn't do, a lot of restrictions in things. And on the Friday night, he came up on the stage. He was healed the day before. And I tell you, it's the personal stories that get you, because we were weeping. We were just crying because it was just like, oh, this is fantastic. This is God on the move. Because this guy who was in a wheelchair, couldn't get out of a wheelchair with a great deal of difficulty, had a stroke and all the ways that a stroke affects you. There he was on the stage jumping up and down. It looked absolutely nothing wrong with him at all, you know. But it was the little personal stories. It was when his wife said, yes, but when we got home last night, it was when we got married, the one thing that really got my heart was that when we got married, when we got home, he couldn't carry me across the threshold. But last night, when we went home from the conference, he picked me up and carried me across the threshold. That's healing. Hallelujah. There was another lady who had cerebral palsy. Now, we know how serious cerebral palsy is. We know what that. Now, the extent to which she had it meant that her legs didn't work. They wouldn't work individually. So she used to use crutches and sort of pogo along. She wasn't in a wheelchair, but she pogoed along. And she'd done that for 7 years. She's running across the stage. And with her husband, it was another little thing. The one with her husband, it was that they hadn't been able to walk down the street holding hands. So, of course, they walked across the stage holding hands. They hadn't been able to do that. But God had intervened and she was healed. I mean, we heard other stories. We heard a story of a little boy in another place who was blind from birth. And he was about 10 or 11, something like that. Blind from birth and his eyes were white. And they prayed for him, or Nathan was praying for him in this meeting. And everybody's praying for him in this meeting. And the boy suddenly says, I can see. And that's just something in itself. You can't imagine what God must have had to do in the little boy to prepare him for seeing for the first time. That in itself is incredible. He could see things from about 3 inches in one eye. And they used to hold, if they held him up to the light and held colors in front of this light, he could distinguish the colors. And they'd done that to teach him colors. But that was about the extent of his sight. And suddenly he says, I can see. And Nathan said to him, what could you see? And the little boy says, I can see you. So Nathan says, well, what am I wearing? And the little boy said, you're wearing a tie, and yanked it. Hallelujah. And I think it was the next day or later that day, but sometime later when you saw the boy again, his eyes had turned blue, pearlescent blue. Now, we've all heard stories like this, and we've seen here in this room, we saw Dave, I don't think he's here this morning, we saw Dave, whose blind eye has been restored to sight. That was an eye that had dead tissue in it, and now the tissue is alive. That's a miracle. Okay? We also had a testimony from someone whose hearing was damaged, and they couldn't hear, and they thought that the music was being turned up and up and up as this mysterious wind blew first through one ear and then through the other ear. Her healing was for her hearing to be restored. And the same morning, of course, there was someone else with pains in their legs, so that they were having difficulty walking, and the pains went. All right. But I want to see the people at the wheelchairs as well. The people blind since birth, I want to see Parkinson's healed. I want to see people with cerebral palsy completely restored. And I'm going to keep going and going and going. I don't know about you. You're going to come with me? We're going to keep going and going and going till it's normal. There was one woman, I don't know if you saw it in the Daily Mail. There was one woman in one of his things who also got out of a wheelchair, completely unable to walk. And that was a very interesting one, because they show the video of when she's actually healed, and she gets out of the wheelchair. And in the video of the night where she's healed, she's like this. And you know, you sort of think, oh, it's got to be a complete healing. They showed a video of her a month later, and she's on a stage like this with a microphone in her hand, and she's jumping and praising God. So when you see God do something, you don't think, oh, that's not enough. You think, yes, God is in the move. If you pray for somebody who's in pain, and you say, have you still got the pain? And they say, well, it's gone down a bit. You praise God that it's gone down a bit, because that means something's happening. It's not, oh, but it's, come on, let's keep going. Something's happening. Let's persist here. Amen? There were many, 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 many more stories. Hallelujah. Ken Gott turned up on the Friday. He prayed to release stuff on us as well. Got a bit of a zap from him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. On the Friday night, we were, again, waiting to be prayed for. This was after midnight, by the way. The meeting started at 7:30. After midnight, there's a call forward for prayer. And it was for everybody that wasn't going to be there Saturday night. So that was me and Kate, so we were down there. By this time, you thought, I'm just going to get everything. Well, I'm here. I'm getting everything that I can. That's God. So we ran down there. We were on the front row, so it wasn't far. So this is, and Nathan went along the line this time, just praying for people. Take it, take it, take it. And when he got to me, he stopped. And he looked at me and said, Pastor, revival's going to break out at your conference. And then moved on. Excited? That means we're going to be very busy. No wonder we're having to get the building. I mean, this is so God, isn't it? We're taking on board this big, huge conference for us. Well, big, huge anyway. At the same time now as we're trying to sort a building. It's just God. But his timing is immaculate. Everything's just in the right place. It's the right time. Amen. Hallelujah. I've really just told you stories today. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just remind ourselves. I'm not going to preach from them. I think what I need to do, can I just get to... No. This is why these five scriptures are so important. Of course, all of scripture is important. It's just that these are five that God has given me prophetically. I also
I don't know how many I've told of you of this, or I can't even remember if I've mentioned it on a Sunday or not. But I also had a prophetic word come over via Facebook from one of the global legacy leaders at Bethel Church in California. I ought to share that with you at some time, because that's pretty good too. But it fits in with everything else that's going on. It talks of great favour and multiplication and the release of miracles, basically.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So it's coming in from everywhere. I didn't ask for a word. This guy just contacted me on Facebook and said, I've been praying for you. I don't know why or how. He knew about us. He said, and I've got these words I want to share with you. And there's just four words, and he expanded them a bit. But I'll give you that another time. But just to encourage you, that this is coming in from all over the place. Don't forget that James Malone is coming as a speaker because he asked me, because of what he saw God was going to do. That's quite exciting, actually. I think some of you are almost in shock. You don't know whether to cheer or gasp. You're suddenly realizing, oh my, I'm part of history here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Lord's going to do. I don't fully know what it means when he says revival. I just know we keep going forwards. And we keep happy in God. When God told us 4.5 years ago to begin praying for a building, it got hard, didn't it? At times, because you're thinking, well, where is it? And yet, when we'll be sitting in it by the summer, we'll be thinking, well, that happened quick. So when God speaks stuff like this, you don't know whether that means bang immediately or whether that's something that you continue seeking for 20 years. You really don't. He's never too good at revealing timing. He tells his people what he's doing. Oh yes, he does that. He reveals his plans to the prophets. But he's not so good at telling you when. Have you ever experienced that? And it always feels like he's not coming through. And people talk about it being the 11th hour. Sometimes it feels like the 13th. The 11th hour has come and gone. The deadline you set is way past. And then his timing turns out to be perfect. He's not a God of the 11th hour. He's a God of his timing, which is nothing like ours.
That's right.
A day is like 1,000 years, and sometimes it feels like it. Right, the five scriptures to finish with. One was Leviticus 26, verse 9. I will look with favour upon you and will cause you to be fruitful. Your numbers will increase and I will keep the covenant I have made with you.
Hallelujah.
Well, we've been talking about everything that God has promised. That's what covenant is this morning. You up for it?
Yes.
Let's not give up then. Let's not allow squabbles between us or disappointment or things not working out how we expected to prevent us from living in the fullness of what God has.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm sorry, I am looking at you. I'm just listening to what God's telling me. You just looked away. I don't know your name, actually. Just there. Yeah. Jennifer. As I looked at you then, I suddenly saw you standing where I'm standing. In the sense of, you were standing in front of lots of people and you were preaching the gospel and people were getting saved.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's a preach the gospel anointing on you. If you will press into God, it's not just for meetings either. As you begin to share with friends and strangers, there's an anointing on you. And people are just going to want to come to know Jesus. You're going to think, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to explain this. But the Lord will give you the words. You depend on him. Obviously read the word. And you're going to see many saved.
Hallelujah.
Many saved. Whoa.
Hallelujah.
When you find, when you hear about Jennifer in the future, you'll remember. Hallelujah. But it's not just a word for the future, it's a word for now. If you would act upon it now, you're going to start seeing people saved. And because you'll be seeing people saved, you will lay hands on them and they will be healed as well.
Hallelujah.
1 Peter 1:24, the second part of it says, the Lord's word endures forever, and it was the eternal word that was preached to you. That's the second stone. It reminds us that the promises we have from God's word are eternal. They're not for a week. They are forever. And sometimes they seem like they're tarrying, but they will come at the perfect time. John 16:23-24. This is a good one. This is the third stone. You can pick this stone up and kill anything with it. At that time, you will no longer question me about anything. I tell you the truth, you will speak directly to the Father, and he will give you whatever you ask for in my name. Some of you have not been speaking directly to the Father. You carry a sense of shame. You carry a sense of, I've messed it up. That's the enemy lying to you. Because if that goes all under the blood of Jesus, if you ask Jesus for his forgiveness, there is nothing that prevents you from going to the Father.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
In fact, that's how he planned it to be.
Right.
And some people say, well, I don't relate to the Father because my own father was a poor father. Everybody's father was a poor father compared to the perfect father in God. If you had a good father, if you had a brilliant father, I had a wonderful dad. He was an amazing man of God. But he was he is a pale reflection of God the Father. And if I allowed it to, I would see, because my dad was a good dad, I could see God the Father like my dad. And I would end up with an inadequate and incomplete revelation of what God is really like. So just because you had a bad father, you're not at a disadvantage to somebody who had a good father. In fact, you can be at an advantage because you know there's no good looking at the earthly model. You've got to look to the heavenly model. You know, but the enemy comes in and tries to lie to you and say, oh, because you had a bad father, you can't have an adequate revelation of God. No, you can have a better one. Because you're not dependent on the earthly. You've got to depend on the heavenly. This is just how the enemy lies. He takes what's the truth and turns it round the other way and says, oh, you're in a right old mess because of this. No, that was a right old mess. So now you're in this position. You've got more to be thankful for. You're going to be stronger in God.
Amen.
God turns everything round. You will speak directly to the Father, and he will give you whatever you ask for in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything using the authority of my name, the authority I've given you. But now when you ask in this way, you will receive, and this will give you great joy.
Come on.
Not that sort of deep-seated Christian joy that comes out like this. Have you got the joy of the Lord, sister? Well, what are you doing enjoying yourself? The joy of the Lord means to enjoy. To enjoy this life that he's given us.
Hallelujah.
I haven't got time to preach. Stop it, Paul. Jeremiah 33, verse 6 was the next one. Oh, I like this one. This is a stone for what we're going into for definite. I will bring great health and healing to this city. How many believe that?
Yes.
A city is a gathering of people. I will bring great health and healing to this city. I mean, cities in Jeremiah's time were 5,000 people. Population of Scarborough Borough is 100,000. There's plenty of people that need saving in Scarborough Borough. And that's not even taking into account the region. Because we're not called to just the borough. We're just called to be started here. And 1 Samuel 12, oh, I didn't finish. I will bring great health and healing to this city. I will heal the people and give them an abundance of peace and truth.
Amen.
What is an abundance of peace and truth? It's the gospel. So he's going to heal the people of this city and he's going to give them the gospel.
Hallelujah.
What more could we ask for? Hallelujah. Remember, when God gave me these stones, I didn't know what the verse said. Do you remember I told you that? They were all, just to me, random numbers. And I looked them up to see what they were going to be. Because there's a whole preach down here about sling stones that I've never got to. And finally, 1 Samuel 12:24. But be sure to live in the awesome fear of the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Remember the great things he has done for you. One thing that humbled me when we were down in Hull was seeing the outrageous happiness of these, well, those three people I talked about, the two that got out of wheelchairs, the one who was paralyzed, the one who had a stroke, and the lady with cerebral palsy. One thing that humbled me was seeing the outrageous happiness that they had of being able to walk. Can you walk? Are you outrageously happy? Don't we take such precious gifts with such casualness sometimes? I can walk. I don't need a miracle to get out of a wheelchair. I've already got the miracle. I can walk. That's big. I can go up and down stairs. No problem. That's a miracle. Because it's the provision of life, and life itself is a miracle. I think that this last word here, remember the great things he has done for you, sometimes we think that's just the amazing, what we interpret as amazing miracles, and it certainly includes that. But I think the Lord is telling us we need to be thankful. Can you see? You don't need a miracle. You can see. Do you smell? No, I'm not supposed to ask that one. Do you have a sense of smell? Yeah, that's wonderful. Can you hear? Can you taste? It's awesome, isn't it? Let's be thankful for these things, because it's thankfulness that releases even more.
Yeah, amen.
Anybody getting the sense that now is the time to be inviting people along to church?
Yeah.
It is now. This is the day, this is the hour.
Yeah, come on.
So from now on, let's be a little bit bolder. The worst that can happen is they say no thank you. Funny, whenever they do surveys, there's always people in these surveys that say, well, I probably would go to church, but nobody's ever invited me. And we get scared to invite people because of their reaction. That's just selfish pride. You say, well, I don't know, you know, it might get God a bad name. You know, God can handle his name.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
God's not worried about you creating a good reputation for him. He can handle that. Oh, no. Paul Abel, what did you go and do that for? You have ruined my name in Scarborough. What am I going to do now? If only you had invited Ethel to church, I could still have been God in Scarborough. But now you've invited Ethel to church and she's got the ump. That's it. The whole gospel in Scarborough is blown. Paul Abel, and it's your fault. I don't think it's going to happen, is it? Even if Ethel's really cross, God can handle it. And sometimes when you invite people and they do get cross, they're the ones who are the closest, believe me. I was one of them people. When I was at university, when you talked to me about Jesus, I got so angry I would shout at people. And in one term, I was backing God, going for God. But I looked like I was the worst person. From the Christian's point of view, it was next door to me. We became good friends. Right. That's the stones. Maybe when we have part three, we'll even get to the next bit, which is about sounding the trumpet as well. Do you remember the people that heard the trumpet sound up at Lamplugh? There were no trumpets, but people heard the trumpet sound. And the Lord has shown me what that means. Want to hear that? Because you can't today. We're going to finish, but I would like the worship team to come back up. Jonah, I like that attitude. She said it's not long enough. Trouble with church, it's too short. And yet there was you thinking, oh no, my dinner's getting burnt. Leslie just saying that while we've been preaching, I don't know if anybody else has experienced it, but she just said that the fragrance of Jesus is just in the place. I didn't hear the trumpets. Come on, Lord, this isn't fair. Shall we stand? I don't know how we're going to do this every week, in the sense of I don't know the way we will do it, that kind of a how. But every week, whether it's at the front, or whether it's in the coffee lounge, or whether it's before church, we need to be praying for those who are not well. Because that's the only way you see people healed. You do it, isn't it? And because we're kind of saying that publicly this morning, we'll do it publicly. I'm not saying that every week we'll have people on the stage. It might be that the Holy Spirit says to me every week, yep, that's the way I want to do it. But we just need to pray for healing every week. It's a season we're coming into. It's probably a season that may never end.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
What do you reckon?
Yes. Yeah.
Hallelujah. And that's why we're going to start inviting the sick to come. Say, come and get healed at church Sunday morning. Yes. Am I saying that you no longer pray for people outside of church? No, I'm not. But sometimes you will know that for that person, the way for faith to rise up in them will be to book their healing appointment at church on Sunday morning.
I like that.
All right. So there are healing appointments now every Sunday for people that are sick. Okay? Now, Adrian Moore's not well. They don't quite know what's going on with him. Various things have been said. But right now, standing here, he's back at Lamplu today. Let's just release a miracle into his body right now.
Hallelujah.
Father, we speak directly to you,
amen,
as that sling stone says. And Father, we thank you that Adrian is completely healed.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, let the miracle be released right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right. Anyone else? I don't have any specific words today. Anyone else who wants prayer for healing, we're going to do it on the stage. Whatever it is, come on down and have your appointment with the doctor, the healer. Anybody sick in the place? From headaches to whatever. Come down there.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.